You're listening to a podcast from Victory. A father who fears and obeys God is blessed at work and in the home. Learn more about this truth in our series, A Father's Heart.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Dennis and Pastor Mark, for inviting me today to speak the word today. And, you know, I just want to say that I really appreciate your pastors. Pastor Dennis and Pastor Mark are some of the finest men in our spiritual family today. And so I commend them to you. I hope you're grateful for your pastors. I hope you pray for your pastors. And so, you know, this morning, as we get into the word today, I want to encourage us because, you know, I think about how we're walking together. And even through this crisis, I think about Pastor Dennis and Pastor Mark, how, you know, I've known them for quite some time. And si Pastor Mark, anyan, para kumbaga, pag may Steph Curry na pure shooter, yan, si Pastor Mark is a pure evangelist, no? And Pastor Dennis is the same thing. I love him because he's just somebody who's not just a remarkable leader, but a really good shepherd, not just at heart, but in his ways, no? And so I want to commend these to you. And it's one thing to actually, work together with ministry partners, but it's another thing to minister with people you can call friends. And so, you know, in a day and age where, relationships have become disposable, right? Even friendships have become disposable. Everything's disposable now. Diaper and then your face mask has become disposable too, right? And so in a day and age where everything's become disposable, we want to walk in covenant friendship and covenant relationship. And especially during these times of pandemic and global health crisis, I want to encourage you, connect with somebody, walk with someone, find a group, find people who can, you know, encourage you or you can encourage in during these times. And so I want to get into the word in a minute, but I want to show you an article I read from Forbes magazine talking about, you know, happiness based on, you know, there's a UN happiness report and it's based on life expectancy, social support, generosity, freedom, levels of GDP and low corruption rates, and good public services. And so they rated the different nations, about 153 countries around the world, and they ranked, you know, the top 20, the top 10 in the list, right? And so, in fact, CNN came out with another article saying that during a pandemic, what does being the world's happiest country mean? Ano ibig sabihin, no? And so, for, you know, the top five would actually include Finland, Denmark, Switzerland, Iceland, and Norway. Philippines is actually number 52, which is pretty good. Out of the 153 countries, you know, we're very happy people. We're resilient. May pinagdadaanan ng mahirap, nakakatawa pa tayo. Nakakapag-text pa tayo ng mga, or nagsasend pa tayo ng mga memes sa mga friends natin. But we all seek happiness through some pathway, right? Embedded inside every single one of us is a desire to be happy, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, pastor theologian Sam Storm said it this way. He said, the concern is not in the path, or sorry, not in the passion for happiness, but in the pathway to happiness. And it's perfectly fine. It's embedded inside of us to desire joy, to desire peace, to desire happiness, right? In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy, the Bible says. But it's the pathway to get to that happiness. That's when we have a problem sometimes. And I know it's Father's Day today, and we're going to talk about a family psalm in Psalm 128 that talks about what it means to be a dad, what it means to be a father. It's a song of ascent. Now, before you click out, those of you who are watching, I need you to stay for a moment because, you know, you might say, I'm not a dad. You know, I'm not a father. I'm not even married yet. Why will I listen to this message? Now, a couple of things I want to say. Number one, if you are, let's say you're a wife, this would be a way to pray for your husband, whether you have children or no children yet. If you are single, these are some of the things that you want to be able to pray for. Whether you're a man, okay, Lord, shape me, fashion me into the man that you want me to be. If you're a woman, you know, these are the prayer items that you might want to have in your list today. And then if you're a son and a daughter, and all of us are sons and daughters, right? We want to be able to pray for our dads in this manner. And so it's a song of ascent in Psalm 128. And the Jewish people would go up to Mount Zion where, you know, the temple was located, and they would sing these different songs. And this was a song of ascent, the one I'm going to read to you today. And so there are themes we want to talk about. The fear of God, the blessing of God, and the peace of God. These are the themes that you will find in Psalm 128. And so as we talk about this psalm. Now let me go ahead and read. But let's start with a word of prayer for a moment. Lord, I thank you. Lord, even as we talk about Psalm 128, Lord, it'll be clear what you're trying to tell us today. Every single person watching online, every person, every mom, dad, every child, daughter, son, Lord, will be able to receive this. Thank you, Lord, because, Lord, your word is powerful and it's effective. It will minister to every single one of us. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, verse 1 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways, right? And so what does it mean to fear God? That's a good question. Is it, you know, being afraid that God might whack us? Is it afraid, being afraid that, you know, God might, you know, punish us? Or, you know, there's a difference between being afraid and between the fear and the fear of God. In fact, if you think about 1 John 4:18, remember the Bible says that perfect love drives away fear, because God is love, and the Bible says perfect love drives away fear. How then can we marry this dichotomy? God is love, and perfect love drives away fear, but we have to have a fear of God. Ano ba ibig sabihin nun? How do we actually work that out in our living, in our daily life? And so, here's the thing. The fear of God helps us because it saves us from caving into our sinful nature. You know, when you hear somebody that, pag nadinig mo sila, no, na, oh, that guy is God-fearing. Oh, that guy fears God. That guy has a healthy fear of God. You know, you will actually trust that person more. There's a proclivity and a propensity to even, you know, okay, I think I can trust that guy because there is a fear of God in their heart. And again, like what I said, there's a difference between the fear of God and being afraid of God. All throughout Scripture, you'll notice, all right, that's mentioned about 300 times in the Bible. And you see, the fear of God results in worship and obedience. That's what we see throughout. And let me give you examples. Here in Psalm 22, verse 23, you who fear the Lord, praise Him. As we fear Him, it will posture our hearts to worship Him. And then it says, Revelation 19, verse 5, praise our God, all you who serve Him, you who fear Him, both small and great, right? And so we're postured, or positioned our hearts to worship Him as we fear Him. Exodus 3, 6, God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, and then what happened? Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God, and then he realized that this God is awesome and mighty and powerful, majestic and sovereign. He bowed down and worshiped Him. That's what fear of God does for us. It causes us to worship Him, causes us to give Him honor and praise. And see, that's what it does. Okay? But not only that, it also causes us to obey Him. In Proverbs 18, 13, right? The Bible does say that. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, right? We begin to hate what He hates and love what He loves. We hate sin. We hate corruption. Anything that He hates, we begin to hate. We hate injustice. We hate corruption. We hate wrongdoing. I remember when we lived in Quezon City before we moved to our place now. I've always grown up in Pasig, but there were a few years that we stayed in Quezon City. And in the place we were in, it was a downhill. And I brought my son Ryan to, you know, we went biking. And from downhill, he went too fast. He did not have enough time to brake. He actually, when he tried to brake, he flew from his, from his bike and hit his chin on a gate. And so, you know, he stood up. I thought he was fine. And then suddenly, there was just a splurting of, you know, blood coming out of his chin. And so I picked him up, and he's just, his, is, you know, my shirt was full of blood. My first reaction was not, where will I go? What will I do? Which hospital will take him? Unang reaction ko, patay ako kay Jen. All right, Jen's gonna kill me. All right, but anyway, I brought Brian home and brought him to the hospital. He was fine. Everything, he got stitched up and it was okay. But I thought, you know, that's the, I guess, a desire to not displease, a desire to not, displease, all right, yung pala yan. Desire to not displease somebody you respect, you love, you appreciate. And so that's the same thing with God. We do not want to displease Him. We love Him, and there's a healthy fear. Lord, I don't want to displease You. I don't want to do anything that will hurt You or hurt your feelings. And so the word here in blessed meaning is the asherah. It's a Hebrew word. And it's the condition and the posture of being blessed, of blessing being bestowed unto us. And so some verses will translate this as happy. In fact, the Beatitudes will talk about Him. You know, blessed are those, happy are those. And it's not the happy in the sense yung masaya ka, or, you know, happiness not based on happenings. Happiness based on the source, who your source is, not what your source is, but who your source is. You're happy, you're blessed, and there's a, I wish I had more time to unpack that word, and it means it's being in a position or a place where you're contented, you are feeling fulfilled, you are enjoying life, there's just an overflow in your heart because you know where your contentment comes from. Godliness with content is great gain, the Bible says. And so the blessing overflows in your workplace, with your family, with your children, and with your wife. And so understand that the blessing doesn't just affect us. When God blesses the man of God, when God blesses the woman of God, when God blesses the person who walks in His ways, it just doesn't affect him. It affects the people around him. And so the Bible says, you shall eat the fruit of labor and for your hands you shall be blessed, and all it shall be well with you. And in the workplace, you'll be blessed, the Bible says. As you fear God, as you walk in His ways, you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. You know, this was lifted from the experience of the Israelites. Whenever, Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you read that, whenever they would obey God, they would be fine. They would be blessed. Whenever they would disobey God and not walk in His ways, neighboring countries would invade them and take over. And so they would not be able to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Somebody will plunder their land. And so in the similar thought, you and I, as we walk in His ways, the Bible says we will be able to enjoy the fruit of our labor, the work of our hands. God will bring protection. God will bring, you know, just a hedge around us, our workplace, and our family. Even through this time of pandemic, God can do that. When we walk in His ways, unfortunately, the devourer comes and he plunders what we have. And then in Psalm 34, I want to hold on to this promise, and I want to bring this to your attention. Fear the Lord, you His holy people, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. See, when we fear Him, when we walk with Him, we will enjoy the fruit of our labor. The blessing of the Lord follows those who fear Him. Follows those who fear Him. And then it says there about, you know, those who are married, your wife will be like a fruitful vine, right, within your houses. The result of a man walking with God and walking in His ways because he has the fear of God in him, his home front will be full of fruit. In fact, his wife will be fruitful, fruitful in the home front, fruitful in the workplace, fruitful at home and outside the home, in the church and in the kingdom of God. There's fruitfulness there. Okay? And then your children will be like olive shoots around your table. I've always wondered about this. Ano ba yung olive shoots? Bakit may binanggit na olive shoots, right? When you think about, when you go to Israel today, you will see olive trees that are hundreds, if not thousands of years old. All right, and so you will notice that around the olive tree would be olive shoots, kind of like in this picture right here. And so, you know, after some time, they may fall, but there are new olive trees that will come up. Olive shoots will rise from around them. And it speaks of succession. I think about fathers, listen, your number one goal, my number one goal is that to see our children to become better than us. That's the dream and that's the goal of every father, that my children will even be better from us. And I look at my own kids. They're smarter. They're better. They're in a way better position than I was in when I was their age. I wish I was in the same situation they're in when I was in their age now and when I was young. And so they are smarter and better. But, you know, here's a thought, though. Those of you are, you know, in your teenage years or maybe in your early 20s, I want to say this, that yes, you're smarter because everything can be Googled now. You know, you can learn all these different things online and you're way better, way smarter than your parents these days. But, okay, being smart doesn't necessarily mean being wise. Just a caveat to what I'm saying. Why? Because wisdom comes with experience, which is why we need those who have gone ahead of us to listen to those who have gone ahead of us so that we can gain and learn wisdom. All right? Now, I think about some of the wisest men I've walked with. I look at Pastor Dennis and Pastor Mark. Right? These are some of the men that this past few weeks we've been meeting and planning on how we can continue and even through this pandemic, how the Church of Jesus can continue to shine. Just learning from them, understanding their wisdom, seeing how God has used them. And I think about Pastor Dennis. Pastor Dennis was actually my roommate when we had a study tour in Israel. Pastor Dennis was one who, you know, I would actually peek in and ano bang tawag doon? Parang I would listen to his conversations, the way he would shepherd his family, the way he would lead his wife. It just speaks of a man who walks in his ways, a man who fears God because he desires these things that was mentioned. And so Psalm 128 verse 4, "But behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Happy is this man," the Bible says, not fleeting happiness, but genuine happiness. He says, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord." And then in the next verse, in verse 6, the Bible says, "May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." See, not just the fear of God, not just the blessing of God, but the peace of God. As we walk in His ways, we will understand the fear of God. As we walk in His ways, we will see the blessing of God in our homes, in our families, right? In our workplaces, in all that we do, all our endeavors. And I declare that to all of you today. The blessing of God. And in fact, let me stop before I go to the peace of God. Let me just pray. Let me just pray. Lord, I pray for everyone watching here. Every man, woman, young and old, Lord, male, female. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that your blessing would be upon them. Lord, you said to walk in your ways. Lord, you said to go in the ways of the Lord. And you said to seek you first and your kingdom. And as we do that, Lord, you will add everything we need. Lord, for your glory and for your honor. And I pray, Lord God, just hold out your hand like this. Lord, I pray that as we hold out our hands, that your blessing would come upon us. Lord, not because we deserve it. Lord, we don't deserve anything. In fact, Lord, what we deserve is hell, death, and the grave. But because of Jesus Christ, Lord, in His death on Calvary, and because of His salvation upon our lives, Lord, we can see the heart of the Father to bless His children. And so, Lord, we ask that You would bless the work of our hands, in even our homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, last one, okay? I want to give you the last one, the peace of God. And this word is the word shalom. Shalom is a very rich word. When we talk about shalom, peace is not just the peace that says, I can sleep at night because I have peace. I can lay my head to rest because I have peace. I'm okay because I have peace. It's way bigger than that, way beyond that, right? When you say shalom, it's well-being, okay? It's physical well-being. It's emotional well-being. It's mental well-being. It is economical well-being, financial well-being, and it is societal well-being. See, when there's shalom, when there's peace, There's wholeness. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Everything is whole, right? There's no shalom in some areas in our lives today. Why? Because we don't have the peace of God and we don't have peace with God. There's no shalom, you know, in our bodies, right? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that our bodies are groaning for the coming of the Son of Man. There's corruption inside of us. There's something broken. And one day the King will come and bring wholeness, and this shalom will come. And not only that, economical, you know, in the garden, there was shalom, there was peace, there was wholeness. They did not have to work. In fact, in other words, they could just pick the fruit and they could eat from the garden, right? Now we have to, you know, write contracts because there's injustice. We have to write contracts because, you know, there's mistrust. And then there's also, you know, a lack of societal shalom. You see injustice today. You see people getting hurt. You see people being abused. You see people being taken away of their privileges and rights. And you see this happening. And there's no shalom because, you know, because of sin. But one day, this King will come. One day, this King will establish His kingdom on earth. And we will look forward to this shalom. But in the meantime, right, in the meantime, we can believe God for the peace that surpasses all human understanding, because we can meet with the Prince of Peace. We have met this Prince of Peace. The peace of God can only genuinely come as we have peace with God. How can we achieve this? How can this happen? Real peace can only come when we have real peace with God, when we meet the Prince of Peace. You see, this peace has allowed me to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father because of what Christ did. When Jesus Christ came as the Prince of Peace, suffered, died on the cross, crucified, raised from the dead, and then He Himself ascended into heaven and now seated at the right hand of the Father. Because I have a relationship and I have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, many of you have, then as a result, you and I can have this peace with God, and then in turn, the peace of God inside of us. You know, I grew up with my mom, and my parents weren't together when I grew up. In fact, before my first birthday, my parents were already separated. And so I didn't see my dad for 15 years. The first time I saw him, I was already 16 years old. And so when I was about 23 years old, I was in a small group meeting with Pastor Steve and some of the other pastors who weren't pastors yet. I wasn't even a pastor at that time. And so we had a small group, and, you know, Pastor Steve talked about honoring your parents, honoring your father. He says, honor your father and your mother, period. And that hit me hard because, you know, growing up, I did not know what that meant, and I did not know how to do that. And so I met my dad when I was 16. So this was already, I was about 23 years old, 22 years old when I was having this Bible study or a small group with Pastor Steve. And so I called him that night. I said, you know, what you said about honoring your father and your mother, period. Not, that doesn't have a clause. If they're nice, they're kind, they've been good to you, they've lived with them all your life and they were, you know, really nice. It didn't have a clause like that. It just said, honor your father and your mother, period. And so I called him. I said, you know, I'm going to call my dad. I said, can you pray for me? Because I want to be able to talk to him. And so the next day, I called my dad. I picked him up from his office, and we had lunch together. And during our lunch, I said, Papa, I just want to let you know that I honor you as my father. And this was after an hour of conversation. He was a broadcaster, so he had a lot of things to say about what was going on in the nation at that time. And so I talked to him, and I said, you know, I want to honor you as my father. And I know it didn't work out with you and Mom, but I just want to say that I honor you. And if given a choice to choose another last name, I'd choose Punzalan all over again. And so by this time, I was already, you know, bawling like a baby. And so I said, you know, I just want to be able to restore that relationship. And by this time, you know, I felt when I said that, there was like a huge wall that fell before us. And somehow the Lord started to restore our relationship. And, you know, He brought me home, and I brought Him back to His office, rather, and He gave me a hug, and He says, "I love you, son." And, you know, I've always heard that statement, "I love you, son," but it would not, but not from a man, but from a woman, my mom. But to hear it from my dad, it was something else. Because it was like him saying, you know, it completed me as a man. And I appreciated what he said. And I gave him a hug and said, "I love you too." You know, from that time on, the Lord restored our relationship. Because I heard the word of God. And by the grace of God, He allowed me to obey His word. Not on my own, but just God giving me the grace, and honored Him. You know, fast forward several years, you know, He walked me down the aisle. I got married. He got to see my children. Some of them grew up. He passed away several years ago. And just God restored that relationship. In fact, my eldest son came up to me one time when he was 8, and because we were camping in his house in Cavite, and he said he was surprised that I didn't grow up with my dad. And it was the testimony of God restoring my relationship with Him, that even my own son thought I always grew up with my dad. The connection God fixed. And you know, fast forward several years later, my dad had a heart attack. My dad had a heart attack and was brought to the hospital. And I went to the hospital. And long story short, he was in the ICU, and I prayed with him. And I was talking to him, and I said, "You know what, Papa? All these years, I've prayed with you and for you. And I want to share something that's so important. If you could allow me and honor you by praying with you, and if you could also, you know, just give me the honor and the privilege of praying with you." So I explained to him the gospel. I explained to him what Jesus did for all of us. And so it was just a moment there where the Lord allowed me to share the gospel, and he gave his life to Christ. He gave his life to Christ. He surrendered his life to Christ. And after that, I opened up the Bible, Psalm 34, one of my most favorite psalms in the Bible. I opened up Psalm 34. And it's not a very long psalm. You know, not even the psalm was done half. I didn't even finish the half of the psalm. He had his final heart attack. And he was gone in a few minutes. And so I was watching the doctors try to revive him. I was outside the ICU room. But it's just moments later, him praying and giving his life to Christ was just one of the most momentous times, opportunities, and I'm so grateful. And he was gone in a few minutes. But I know where he is today. And I tell you that story, and I'm sorry I took a while to explain this story to you, because the Bible says, "Oh, how happy is the man who walks in his ways." And again, it's not because of our own merit. The grace of God allows us to follow him. God's goodness. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And it is his goodness. And because of what he has done for me, I will live for him. Because of what he has done for me, I'm going to live my life for him. And so that's what he's allowed me to see happen in my life, the opportunity to be able to lead my father into a salvation prayer and even to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so as we end our time today, I want to pray. I want to take a moment to pray for us. And so just bow your heads with me. I want to pray for the dads here who are watching. And I just want to honor every dad watching. And it's even as a dad myself, sometimes I think about how we're trying to juggle everything. How we sometimes end up, thinking of things, and how do we actually make ends meet? Ano na yung pinagdadaanan natin? And just all these things. So I just want to pray for strength and grace for every father. Lord, I pray for all the dads. Lord, thank you. Lord, even as a father myself, we know sometimes we're trying to juggle a lot of things, Lord. Lord, our work, how do we make ends meet? Lord, the stuff that we face in the workplace, the things that we face at home, and how we can fix everything and connect everything together. Just all the things that are running through our minds. And Lord, I pray for the dads. Lord, I pray for grace. I pray for strength, even through this time of crisis. Lord, sometimes it's hard to even think, how do we get to the other side? How do we get through the storm and get to the other side? But Lord, thank you that your grace is sufficient. Lord, I pray for the moms as well and the wives, God. I pray that you will help them. Lord, continue to support one another. Lord, you said there is, blessed are those who dwell in unity. And there's a blessing and there's anointing when there's unity. And so I pray you command a blessing upon the married couples who are watching today. Pray for the children as well, Lord God. Pray for the children, Lord, to be able to, Lord, support and pray for their dads. I pray also, Lord God, for those. I just want to pray for those who, you're in a situation today and it feels like, Pastor Paolo, I don't know how to honor my dad. I mean, if you knew, kung alam mo lang, just the pain that we had to go through. Listen, I want to pray because God's grace is sufficient. He will allow you to be able to, forgiveness doesn't make them right. Forgiveness sets you free. So I want to pray because God wants you to be free from any misery, bitterness, unforgiveness. Lord, I pray, if there's anybody watching, maybe a handful watching, and there's just bitterness in their hearts, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, it's like you're reaching out, even through this screen, grabbing a hold of their shoulder, and say, it's going to be okay. And Lord, as they pray, as they ask you to bring release, they're going to see and sense a difference in the coming days. And some of them, Lord, will need to call their dads. Some of them, they're going to need to meet with them or text or email or Facebook message, whatever and however that would be, Lord. Thank you that you're going to lead them through this process. I want to pray for one more thing. I know we've gone a little bit over. I just want to pray for those of you who are single parents. You're a single dad, a single mom. It's not the easiest time to go through this, during this pandemic. And so I want to pray. Because God is a father to those who don't have a father. And He is a husband to those who don't have a husband. And so, Lord, I pray for the single parents, moms and dads. I pray, Lord, that you will help them as they trudge through this difficult season. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would come. Lord, you said times of refreshing come in the presence of the Lord. Panginoon, maraming salamat. Dahil kayo ang bibigay ng kapayapaan. Lord, the peace that surpasses all understanding, even through this time. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I pray that the Lord will continue to sustain you. Thank you, Pastor Mark and Pastor Dennis, for letting me share the word today. May God bless you and let the light of Christ shine in you and through you this week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were encouraged by the message. For more podcasts and updates, visit victory.org.ph or download the Victory app. You may also give through our website and share your prayer requests and answered prayers with us there.